Hey everybody, it's Pastor Will. Welcome or welcome back to the Brazos Fellowship Podcast. Thank you for listening today. And at the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast if you aren't already. But more importantly, I hope the following presentation inspires you to take the next step in your faith journey. Enjoy. Morning, everybody. We're going to launch into a brand new series today entitled More Than Enough. More Than Enough. I want to kick off this first message in the series with a question. Get you guys to kind of vote in real time here. How many of you, maybe you found this to be true in your life, how many of you would say that you believe it is more blessed to give than to receive? Anybody here? Okay, wow, most of you, yes, all right, like you figured that out. Like, and just so you know, many of you may know this already, that didn't come from Hallmark, that didn't come from some philosopher somewhere. Jesus Christ actually said this. It was recorded for us by the gospel writer Luke, not in the Gospel of Luke, surprisingly, over in the book of Acts, which was also written by Luke, in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, where Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, when Jesus said this, let me just bring some clarity. He's not saying that it's bad to receive. Receiving is nice. Last Sunday was my birthday, and I received some really sweet texts from some people. That was a blessing to me. Sometimes receiving is really wonderful. Like if a friend that's been owing you some money, finally it shows up in Venmo, and you're like, wow, I never thought I'd see that money. That feels pretty good, doesn't it? Somebody buys your coffee, buys your lunch, you receive. Like, that's nice. That's really cool. Jesus isn't saying receiving's bad. He's just saying giving is better. That giving is better because, if we ask the question, why is giving better? Giving is better because it's blessed. It's blessed. Now, why is it blessed? It's blessed because it teaches us to love more like God. It teaches us how to love more like God and not just like everybody else. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You do me a favor, I'll do you a favor. But learning how to love people unconditionally the way God loves us. And he says, when you do this, you shine like bright stars in the night sky in this world. So here's what I'd like you to do with me right now. Put on your thinking caps for a second. We're going to use some logic here, kind of do some deductive reasoning. Some of you may have remember the idea of a syllogism, where you have two statements of truth and that you can logically deduce a third statement from those two statements. We're going to do that right now about God, okay? So here's the first question. What is God? And the answer that we're given in Scripture, 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16, he actually says it twice, that God is love. That's what he is. That is at his core of his nature. He is love. So what does God do? What does God do? Probably the most famous verse in all the Bible, John 3:16, tells us, for God so loved the world that God gives his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Okay, so here's our syllogism. If God is love and God gives, then it's logically that we would conclude that love gives, that love gives. Put it another way, if love gives, you can't love without giving. Now, it's logical that you can give without love. People do that all the time. Like, they feel obligated or whatever. But you can't say, I love you, without that following up with some generosity, some giving of time, effort, energy, focus, attention, resources, whatever. That usually follows. There's proof, in other words, of the love, because generosity tends to follow. Let me give you a couple of analogies or a couple of illustrations. My wife, Leslie, loves me. I hope that's not a surprise to you. I'm so thankful that it is true, and I love her, but I also love mountain biking, okay? Not the same, okay? Let's just be clear here, this Mother's Day, all right. But I love biking, and specifically mountain biking. Sometimes, not every vacation, but sometimes on vacation, she will, because she loves me, she'll go biking with me. Not because she necessarily loves biking. She's learned to like biking okay, but she loves me. She likes biking okay. She's willing to do biking with me because she loves me, right? Yesterday, Leslie and I got to spend a pretty big chunk of time with our granddaughter, Ivy. Okay, that was so much fun. I love Ivy. I love to hear her little laugh. I love to hear all of her new little words that she's saying. She's almost 17 months, and so you know there's like all this new, every time we see her, like, oh my gosh, there's another curl, there's another tooth, there's another word, there's another, it's like, and it's only been 7 days, you know, like it's all happening so fast. So anyway, I love Ivy. Well, even though I love Ivy, sometimes Ivy has a stinky diaper, okay? Kind of goes with babies, right? So I love Ivy. Ivy's got a stinky diaper. So guess who sometimes changes her stinky diaper? Grandma Leslie does. That's right. Because as crazy as it sounds to my mind, I think she might love Ivy a little more than I do. But she's such a good grandma. She does. I've maybe done once or twice, but who's keeping score? Okay, like, anyway, she does most of that work. But yeah, you see, love is manifested in generosity because love gives. I know early on in my life, way before even Leslie and I got married, when I was a single man, when it came to giving generosity in my life, I would tell God in prayer, like, God, I love you. I really do. I love you. And I want to be generous and I want to give towards the things of God, but I just don't feel like I can. Why did I say that? Because I felt like I lacked. I had a scarcity mindset. If I give, I'm going to run out. If I give, what's going to happen to me? I don't have enough. I don't have a whole lot, first to begin with. And if I give what I do have away, then I'm going to have even less. So I'm going to run out. Like, I was scared. Maybe many of you run into that same wall every time you give. It's not because you don't love God. You just feel like, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can do it because it's scary and I'm going to run out. So here's what my prayer, my hope for you and me and all of us over the next several weeks as we go through this More Than Enough series, my hope and prayer is that this teaching will help grow your faith, grow your trust in God, that it will literally begin to build your faith and change your mindset, that you won't have a scarcity mindset like I used to have anymore, but that you'll begin to grow into generosity. You'll learn how, this might be one of the greatest breakthroughs spiritually that you ever experience. I have had many people say that I had no idea how big of a deal this was until I started putting it into practice, how much it would change my relationship with God, but it radically did. And what I'm saying to you, and this was true of me as well, many of us do not have a money problem. We have a mindset problem. And this is where we're going to start our focus today, is what does God want to say about our mindset, the way we think about and process stuff, wealth, our resources, and even beyond just money, but like all of our stuff. This is so important that we begin to think about this, because God wants to, he's calling you and I to love like him, to begin to love generously, because love gives. Look at God. He didn't just talk about it, he did it. He gave his one and only son. Beautiful. So here's what we're gonna do over the next several weeks, couple of weeks here. We're gonna be looking at two chapters out of the New Testament in particular, two chapters that were written by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. Now, just to give you a quick backstory, the Apostle Paul grew up as a Jewish boy into a young adulthood. He was a professional Jewish man. What I mean by professional, hired by the temple, the high priest. He had aspirations of becoming a high-ranking sort of political, religious, Jewish figure in society of that day. But he was converted to Christianity. He became a follower of Jesus Christ. And Jesus calls him to take the gospel, this good news of Jesus, to all the non-Jewish people, which is kind of like God's sense of humor, to take the most Jewish Jew of all the Jews and go call him to go take the gospel to all the Gentiles. But there was a problem. There was this tension in the early church that was birthed in Jerusalem, where all the Jewish people were, right? And in Jerusalem, all the early Christians were former Jews. They were converted Jews, and they kind of thought in their mind, Christianity is really for Jewish people. Like, that's what Jesus was, a Jew. You know, I mean, look at that. Like, that, there's a lot of evidence. But over and over and over, Jesus says this all through Scripture. God's saying, I so love the world. Like, I have my love, my grace, my gospel, my good news, the kingdom of God is for everybody. Everybody's invited. And Paul was one of the ones, the early ones, that was the vocal. He was the voice box trying to articulate this to the early leadership of the church in Jerusalem. And the three men that were the sort of pillars upon which the church God was using to build was Peter, James, and John. They heard him out. And this is recorded for us over in Galatians chapter 2. And this was, if you kind of put this in a timeline, this was roughly 49 AD. They hear him out, and they hear Paul telling the story about how he's been called to the Gentiles and how he's been sharing this gospel, and it's been transforming lives, changing cities and regions, and it's crazy. And they're like, okay, not that you necessarily need it, but you have our stamp of approval. You have our endorsement. You are clearly called to do this, and you have our blessing. Get out there and keep bringing the message of Jesus to all the non-Jews. But here's our one caveat, our one condition. Teach them to be generous. Teach them to be generous. And Paul's like, absolutely, I was eager to do this already, and I'm going to get out there and do it. Now, 6 years later, now it's 55 AD, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, his second letter to the church in Corinth, and he's talking about, he's sort of catching them up on how's it going. He's taking the gospel to this whole region that we now, what was called Macedonia, part of Greece today. And he's taking the gospel to all these Greek, Roman people, and he's sharing with them about some of the astounding things that he's seeing. And this is what he says. Sometimes it's good to know the backstory, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting with verse 1, here's what Paul says. He says, now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. So here's two things that we know about the Macedonian churches, okay? First, we know that they were very poor, right? He says extreme poverty, but yet they had irrational generosity. It was like their giving was not proportionate to what they had. They weren't looking at their stuff going, oh, we can't give much because we don't have much. They gave kind of insanely large amounts. And then number two, they were enduring trials, yet at the same time, they were overflowing with joy. Like, how's this possible? They instead of suffering from lack, well, they were suffering, they were in lack, but they weren't suffering from it. How did they respond even though they were in lack? Were they depressed? Were they anxious? Were they self-protecting and just saying, this is our selfish stuff that we're going to protect and we don't want anybody touching it, we don't want anybody taking it? No, they didn't do that at all. They chose to be generous. They chose to be joyful. And how is that even possible? Because by trusting God, they got more blessed, not just in monetary ways, but in all kinds of ways. And why did they do this? Because love gives. Love gives. So how did they give big yet had so little? They had a different mindset. In the same way, today, you and I, if we want to change the way we give, change the way we do generosity. Many of us don't have a money problem. We have a mindset problem. And I want to talk to you about two mindsets that I think can help distinguish, because sometimes we slip into the one we don't mean to, and there's a way to get out of it. And we're going to talk about that this morning. Okay, here's the first one. The first mindset is the bag mindset, okay? The bag mindset that says, we don't have enough. I just do not have enough. And most people feel like, yeah, that sounds familiar. That sounds like me. That sounds like my situation, my condition. But God gives a challenge to this. And we see this as he's sharing this with his people, the Israelites in the Old Testament. For 70 years, they had been in exile in Babylon, and now they were back in Jerusalem. And God was confronting their lack of generosity. They were being pretty stingy. They weren't sharing. They weren't being generous with him. They weren't being generous with each other. And here's what he says, and this is given to us through the prophet Haggai, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Haggai says this. He says, and he's quoting the Lord, "The Lord of heaven's armies has said, think carefully about what you are doing." Now, doesn't that sound like process your mindset? Think about what you're doing, because what you're doing is coming from what you're thinking, right? Think about this. "You have planted much, but you have harvested little. You eat, but are never filled. You drink, but are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but are not warm. Those who earn wages end up with," let's see the highlighted words together, "end up with holes in their money bags." Okay. In other words, you're never satisfied. It doesn't matter how much you get. Does this sound somewhat familiar to our culture today? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much you consume on the internet. Doesn't matter how much you have in your bank account. Doesn't matter. It's just always, no matter how many experiences you want more. No matter how much stuff you have, you want more. It's like an appetite. Like, as soon as you get through eating, wait a couple hours, you're hungry again. It's just never satisfied. And this is the way it is with things when you have a bag mindset. And it's like people back then, just like today, "I wish I could give, but I just don't have enough. And when I have more, Lord, then I'll give." This is the bag mindset. We never have enough, therefore we never give much. We just never give much. So let me lay this out in a way that might be helpful here on the board. Okay, first, we're talking about a bag mindset. And the bag mindset, I mean, I have a green marker. I might as well use it. Try not to get it on myself, all right? All right, yeah, I know. So amazing. There it is, the bag, all right. Oh, wait, I forgot. I need to put a little hole in it. There's the hole right there. Stuff leaking out right here. Okay, that's not good. But he's warning about that, right? The idea is that God supplies. Feel free to doodle along with me, okay? All right, and then what do? We take that and we consume. And once we consume, then whenever we're consuming, we find that we lack. Right? It's never enough. So then it creates some fear. We may not say, "I'm afraid." We just say, "I'm concerned," right? "I'm concerned we're going to run out." And then we call out to God, "Can you help us?" He does. And then we consume again. We lack, we fear, and this cycle just sort of continues over and over again. This is the bag mindset, and many times people get caught up in this. So this is the bag mindset. What is the other one? The barn mindset. The barn mindset says that we have more than enough. Like, even though you can't see it, even though I can't show you a bank account, I can't point to it, I know because I'm connected to an infinite God who is my heavenly Father. I am his child, that there is a connection here. This was something the Macedonian Christians got early on in their Christianity, their walk with Jesus. They got this, and I hope that we can all take a collective step together in that direction. Whatever God's doing in your life right now in terms of generosity, you would be willing to take the step with him. They had not a bag mindset, but they had a barn mindset. I'll get to that in just a second. So instead of consuming first, they gave first. In other words, they put passages from the Old Testament like Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, put it into practice in their minds, and it manifested in their behavior and the way they treated each other and the way they responded to God. Here's what Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 says. Honor the Lord with your, let's say the highlighted words together. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, right? With the first of your harvests, the first yield. Now, we're not, most of us, in agriculture anymore. Back then, most people were. But in all of our work, there is a paycheck that comes to us. That's the harvest. That is what God blesses. And however else it comes to us, not always from an employer. Sometimes it's just, unexpected resources that come to us. But he's asking the first fruits, the first to get paid, the first off the top, I want you to give as an act of obedience and honoring of God, recognizing I'm giving this to you, God, because 100% of it was given by you to me to manage, right? So first fruits of all your crops, then, this is an if-then thing. If you do this, if you're obedient to do this, then God's saying this is what will happen. Then your, let's say it together, your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Giving first fruits is synonymous with this idea of tithing, bringing the tenth to God, to being willing to, off the top, be willing to say, God, we trust you more than our own ability. Lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you, and you will make our path straight. You will show us the way to go. We will trust you with these things, right? We bring the first tenth to him, and we trust him because he has entrusted it to us. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, the prophet Malachi put it this way. He says, bring the whole, let's say it together, the whole tithe, which is a word that means a tenth, 10%. Into the storehouse, the barn, right? That there may be food in my house. Test me in this. The one place in Scripture we see God saying, test me. Put me to the test. Try this out. See if it doesn't work, says the Lord Almighty. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing. Later Jesus says, is more blessed to give than to receive, more blessed than there will be room enough to store it. We give God our first and best and trust him to bless the rest. That's what Scripture is getting at. That's what God is showing us. If we would be willing to do this, it is a game changer. Now, I know the moment I share this and I challenge you with this and I say, I'm doing this, I know several other families and couples are doing this, and it isn't easy, but God blesses it. Some of you are saying, wait, this is crazy. You people are crazy. Because if I do this, Will, I'm going to have to now arrange my whole life around God. Oh, maybe that's what he wanted in the first place. Right? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Maybe God's after our heart, and he knows he'll never get it if he doesn't get first place in our stuff. This feels like a real un-American thing to say to you, because people love, we love our stuff so much. But God's saying, that's not freedom. That's not peace. That is bondage. That is slavery. It's like the Israelites going back to Babylon and saying, we want to be slaves again. Like, who would do that? God's saying, yeah, exactly. And now that's basically what you're doing. In your own economy, you're doing that. Why would you do that? Don't live like that. And what you will find as you begin to trust God with the first fruits, the first tenth, it's beautiful. You will discover, like many of us, 90% with God's blessing goes further than 100% without it. It's awesome. The math doesn't always work on paper, but we look up. Leslie and I just had a moment like this. We're like, woo, that's God's math. I don't know how that worked like that, but that we're ahead of where we thought we were going to be way behind, but he blessed in a way that It's amazing. And I keep hearing, it's not just us, we hear this from so many different couples. It's a blessing, but it requires faith, trust in your Heavenly Father. And you may be saying, well, Will, that's just Old Testament. Jesus never really taught that. I would take you over to Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. We'll look at what Jesus said together. He's talking to these early first century church leaders, those Jewish leaders that were hypocrites. And Jesus didn't have a problem. He had the courage to publicly say, hypocrites, because of what they were doing to people. Hypocrites, this is what he says. For you are careful to, let's say it together, to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. Let's say this together. You should tithe, yes. Jesus wasn't against tithing. He's just like saying, don't use your tithing to excuse your willingness to give mercy and justice and faith. Like, trusting and loving God and loving and showing fairness and kindness to those around you. You should not neglect the more important things, which he just covered. That's right. I want you to learn how to be generous. Tithing breaks the cycle of scarcity in our lives, and it begins to open us up to a whole new mindset. The barn mindset. Okay, and this one, very much the same way. Oh, wait, I got to draw my barn real quick. Y'all would be so disappointed if I didn't do that, right? That's as close to a barn as I can get right there. Okay, all right, so God supplies. Once again, but instead of consuming, the first thing is we give. We learn that we give the first fruits, the first tenth. We give. And what does God do? God does something miraculous. God multiplies. Right? And then he builds our faith. And it makes it easier to trust God the next go around. But we start by giving, and then we see God multiply. And the multiplication doesn't always happen, as I said, monetarily. It can come in way better ways than that many times. But it is a change of mindset. And this mindset, not money, makes all the difference in our lives, what we come to learn. You see, and what I mean by that is more money won't make you more generous. It will simply make you more of what you already are. You already are. If you're generous with a little, Jesus says, those who are faithful with little things will be blessed with much. And if you're faithful and you're generous with little things, it's amazing how those people, when they get blessed, they are so generous. People who are stingy and selfish with little things just become stingy and selfish rich people. It's sad but true. Statistically speaking, in our country, the people who make the most money give the least away. They give the least percentage or none at all. Zero. Nothing. Many of them. The money is not the difference maker. It is a mindset that has to change. And if you're a child of God, you're walking with him in a relationship with him, It's just like if you see your child, he or she can't be trusted with little responsibilities around the house, you don't go hand them the car keys and say, yeah, go drive around town, see what happens, right? It's like, be faithful with little, and then I'll bless you with much. This is why Jesus said, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Why did he say that? Because money, like little else, can march around in our culture and our world like a counterfeit God, promising things it can't deliver. Money promises what God, only God can deliver, what God can provide. Money will falsely promise peace and security and confidence and contentment and significance. Like, you'll really be somebody if you have a lot of money. Try again. False. Only God can give those things in any kind of permanent, sustainable way. And the Macedonians figured this out. They lived by this. They understood this truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, I love this. It says, the Apostle Paul talking about, and this is something that they had really downloaded and put into practice, God can bless you with everything that you need, and you will always have, let's say these next few words together, you will always have more than enough to do all kinds of good things for others. You see, many of us don't have a money problem, but a mindset problem. That is the problem that we have here. And I just want to share with you a powerful testimony here. It was actually written by a mother, a grandmother, and soon-to-be great-grandmother, okay? She writes, it was about 40 years ago when we began to tithe. We had been giving intermittently, but not consistently. Both of us lost our jobs in an economic downturn at the same time. One child headed to college, two other children in middle school. Needless to say, we were concerned and frightened, but we told God that we believed He would take care of us and that we would tithe consistently from that day forward. Our fear began to say to us, well, what are you going to lose first? But our faith repeated, thank you, God, for the protection and promise that comes with being a tither, from Malachi 3, 8, 12, we just looked at. We were extremely low on funds when an unexpected gift from a friend of $10,000 was given to us. Let me just pause and say, this is not a guarantee that somebody's going to show up at your doorstep with a check for $10,000. It's just sharing what happened to them, okay? We kept our promise to God and learned much more about from that day forward. We both received our jobs back again. His company that had laid him off rehired him, and he was one of the few. I also found new employment. Tithing was not just plunking down 10% in the offering plate. We learned quickly that God honors His word, and we can do more with 90% than our so-called 100%. We also became aware that we were only stewards of God's gifts and that He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Our paychecks are coming from Him, not from our employer. Colossians 3:23 says, do your work heartily as to the Lord rather than for men. God gave all that He had when he, Jesus, went to the cross for our salvation. If we can trust Him with our salvation, our eternal salvation, we can certainly trust Him with our finances. We also discovered giving is truly better than receiving. And she didn't know what I was preaching on today when she wrote that. No one was more generous than our mighty God and our Creator. I share that with you today to say what I'm talking about can change your life. It can change your faith. It can create a breakthrough and a catapult effect in your life to draw you closer to God than maybe anything you've done to date in your walk with Jesus. And what He blesses you with, what He provides in return, is so much better than finances. It is peace, and it is purpose, and it's friendship and community and people that really love you, and they got your back, you got theirs. He'll bless your marriage. He blesses your kids. He blesses you with grandkids. Oh my gosh, just wait. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I'm next level. It's awesome, right? It's amazing. God blesses. It's beautiful. And maybe it's time for you to rearrange your life around the Lord. Rearrange your stuff around God and begin to bring your first fruits, your tithe, your tenth to Him. I know this is scary. I know it's a big, giant step of faith, but it might be the greatest one you've made to date that will help make God more real, His blessings more palatable and just right in your face and tangible and real. Maybe for some of you, you're like, I don't know if I can do 10%. Maybe you could do 5. Let's build some grace into it. Start where you can start. Do 5 and start working your way up. You can't do 5, do 3. Work your way up. Start to become a percentage giver of what God has given you. Bring those first fruits and then let God grow you 1 point or half a point at a time as you can. And some of you, you're saying, man, I've been tithing for a while. I believe everything you're saying, Will, and I am like, go, go, go. This is awesome. It has changed my life. And you might be to a place where 10% is easy. It's not even faith stretching anymore. And God might be saying, it's time for you to bump up. It's time for you to follow me into some unknown territory, to trust me even greater, to become even more generous. Now, I'm going to let God be the one to clarify that to you. I'm not trying to be the Holy Spirit, but I am saying, are you open to let God help you to take the next step with him, whatever that is? And the whole reason I'm talking about this today is because when we learn how to trust God, we come to know him better. We learn how to love like him, because love gives. Love gives. It's conceivable that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Here's the application prayer. I'm asking you to pray with me today, simply saying, Lord Jesus, today I commit to bring you the first fruits that you have blessed me with. Help me to arrange my life, my whole life, around you. Would you just bow with me in prayer right now? Would you just be so open to whatever God wants? That's all we ask here at this church. It's just follow what the Lord Jesus is telling you. What is the next step in your fellowship of him? Would you have the courage, the faith, the trust to say yes? Jesus, we come before you right now. We praise you that you have given us wisdom about how to deal with stuff. Help us, dear God, to move from the bag mentality to the barn mentality. To stop living in scarcity, scared we're going to not have enough, run out, but start to realize we have more than enough because we have you. You always have more than enough. We trust you. We love you, God. Right now, all across this room, that you would be willing to say, I'm willing to follow Jesus with the next step. The next step of learning how to bring my first fruits to him. Would you follow him with me? I'm doing the same thing with you to take that next step in my life. Would you just raise your hand if you're saying, I'm saying yes to Jesus for that next step of following him. Thank you. God bless you. In the floor, in the balcony, taking the next step of bringing our first fruits to our Father in heaven, the God of all provision. He's the one from whom it all comes. You can trust him. I know it's scary, but all growth is outside of our comfort zone, just outside of it. The question is, are we willing to follow him there? Lord Jesus, many of the people in this room right now are ready to say, yes, we'll follow you. I'm ready to take that step. It's scary, but yes. I'm putting my yes on the table. I'm following you, Lord. Would you tell him that right now? I'm bringing you my first fruits. God, would you bless it? Would you help me to see your provision, even though I can't see it right now? We trust you, Lord. You may lower your hands. Lord God, while we're still in this moment of prayer, there are some in the room, I really believe, God, that are ready to step over the line of faith and trust you, Jesus, for the forgiveness of sin, to be the Lord of their life. Begin to arrange their life around you. Would you just pray right where you sit? If you know God is saying, it's time, you're watching this online, it's time to step over the line of faith and trust him, become a child of God. Right now is the time. Would you pray right where you sit? Jesus, forgive my sin. Come into my life and be the Lord of everything attached to me. I will arrange my life around you. No matter how scary it might be right now, I'm following you. If you just told Jesus yes to his forgiveness of your sin and that you would follow him as Lord, would you just boldly, as an act of faith, raise your hand right here in the room? If you're watching online, would you just put in the comment section, giving my life to Christ right now? And over here, God bless you. I see you in the center, around the booth over here, back over here. I see those two hands back there. God bless you. And another one back over here. God bless you. Anybody in the balcony giving your life to Christ for the first time? God bless you, sir. I see you right there. Praise God for you. anybody else, giving it all over to Jesus. Thank you, Lord God in heaven, for your love. Thank you for touching our hearts. Thank you for leading us, showing us this countercultural, counter-world way to live that is representative of your kingdom, not the kingdom of this world, that sets us free. Help us to get to the place, God, where we begin to trust you, lean not on our own understanding. We love you, God. We thank you. May our life reflect it. We pray it all in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Those of you who gave your life to Christ, please go by the Welcome Center. We have a Bible we'd like to give you and the next step for your faith. God bless you guys. See you next Sunday. Once again, thanks for listening. If you live in the Brazos Valley, we would love for you to engage with us at one of our weekend services. For directions, service times, and information about our fabulous children's and student environments, visit us at BrazosFellowship.com. That's BrazosFellowship.com.